Giant FM. You're listening to A Trip with Penny Lane, and today we're going to be speaking with Miss Jan Brown, returning from Palm Springs, California, Rhonda Persley, and Matthew Barnes. Welcome.
Hi, Penny, again.
Hi, Penny.
Hi, it's great to have you back.
Thanks. It's always good to be back.
So I want to start off first, Miss Jan Brown and Matthew Barnes. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks.
You traveled a long way to get here.
Of course, yeah, but I come home this time every year in the fall. I have to get my Hoosier fix, you know.
Hoosier fix.
I do, yeah.
And you were telling me you've known Rhonda since how long?
Well, I think we were about 4 years old when we became friends.
Yep.
That was when dinosaurs walked. That's a long time ago. But and we have remained friends throughout life. And so that's pretty much a phenomenon right there for us. Phenomenon, yeah.
Rhonda, tell me your memories of when Jan first started playing, when she first was really interested in music, from your perspective.
Playing in her bedroom, she would have playing on the piano. And I would always say, okay, you can do that. Can I learn? No, I'm not music inclined at all. And that was about the earliest ones, you know, and then throughout the years, she just grew and grew and grew, and now she's a star.
Tell me some of the big highlights that you were just like floored away that happened for you personally when you seen that Jan, you know.
You know, I remember because I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't know that you really like followed my music career. She's like, but
yeah.
But she did call me one day and say that she was at the License Bureau. Remember that? And you were talking with some girl, and she said her favorite song was "You Ain't Down Home." And do you remember? Tell me that.
No, like, it's probably years ago.
Oh, well. She was trying to tell the girl that she was my best friend, and the girl was like, yeah, right.
Wouldn't believe in it, huh?
When I saw her on the Music Awards show, that really, you know, back when you had the VHSs and I taped it, and seeing her on TV like that, you know, just, it was like, wow, she is a singer, you know. Because when you grow up somebody and your best friends, yes, she's a great star. She's got CDs, videos, everything. But we don't talk about that. We talk about stuff. Gossip, you know, girl
food,
stuff.
Recipes.
Food, yeah. Recipes. Recipes is a biggie with us.
Animals.
Really?
The animals, you know, and because she's so into saving the animals now. And
I love that about her.
Oh.
About you, dude.
That's what we talk about. And, you know, when I go out there, she comes home, we just talk just like when the other day she wanted to go back where she, you know, grew up, and so we drove through there and took pictures and stuff like that. We'd remember doing this, or when we went to church, went skating, and who our boyfriends were back then, and just stuff that we did when we were kids growing up.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
How did the Riverfront Tap Room, well, let me rephrase this. How did the campaign kick off at the Riverfront Tap Room, which will be Sunday the 24th, come about with Jan coming back?
Jenny knew Jen and I have been friends forever, and we were all together at one of her committee meetings. And Jenny goes, "Do you think Jan would sing?" And I said, "Well, she's my best friend. I'm sure she would, you know." And so I got on the phone. And I just asked her, and she goes, "Yes, you know, no questions asked. I will do it. You know, if you believe in Jenny, I'm there for you, and I'll be there for her."
Now, Rhonda, you are the committee chair to elect Jenny Kinsley for circuit judge. Tell our listeners about Jenny Kinsley.
She worked the prosecutor's office since 2001, and I also worked there as a paralegal, and she was started out a deputy prosecutor, and then she was under Kent Apsley, and then when Brad got elected, Lan Whirlin, he made her chief deputy prosecutor, and then they needed a magistrate judge, the first one in Shelby County, so the three judges in town picked Jenny to do it. And so now she decided, well, she had decided before magistrate that she would like to run when Judge O'Connor retires. So he's retiring, and so she decided to run. With her experience, she just has, she has so many courtroom experience, and she's just done it all, you know, and she's very good with victims, and she's done every kind of case. So she would be the best choice because of her experience. I'm not saying anything bad about the other candidates, you know. I don't know them all. But
she just sounds like she's extremely qualified.
She's very qualified. And so that's and so we want everybody to come out to the tap room on Sunday. And if you don't know her, or if you do, come out and meet her. Come out and listen to Jan sing and have a good time. Bring your kids. You know, it's outside all day. And we're going to have having a good time.
And it's from 4 to 8, right?
4 to 8 on Sunday.
And great atmosphere. Wonderful music.
Yes.
It's going to be very exciting in the food. You know, the pizza.
Yes. Food's good.
It's excellent.
So Jan's got some surprises for us that mm-hmm. day. So
it's
going to be a fun event.
No, I want to know about the surprises, but it wouldn't be a surprise if you told everyone.
You just have to gonna have to show up because
you need to come.
Some nice things that are going to happen that day. Yeah.
So you and Matthew will be performing together.
We will. He's been in Florida for the week, visiting with his family due to Hurricane Irma and all of its catastrophic things it's been doing. And so he was there helping his parents. So he flew up yesterday to come do this thing for us at the tap room for Jenny. And so I put together a band of musicians that I've known for years here in Shelbyville. We've been friends forever, Dana Ayers and Gary Talbert he's now in Louisville, mm-hmm. and Stan Cobb. I don't know Stan. I'm going to meet him today.
He's so, an animal lover, too.
We've talked on the phone a few times, and I know his little dog, Zorro, cutest dog. He's been dealing with Parvo with his dog, so we've been talking back and forth. We're gonna get together today and rehearse for the first time, and come out sounding like Led Zeppelin. I'm sure.
Right? You mean we actually have to rehearse?
The R word. The
they
R word.
Do
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary thing. But
so,
we're gonna do it.
How did you and Matthew meet?
He bought the house next door to me.
Really?
I had no idea whom he was until he entered into the neighborhood from New York, from Binghamton, New York. And being a musician, he was more into rock music. So, you know, we were sort of the Donnie and Marie. I'm a little bit country, I'm a little bit rock and roll thing going on there.
Uh-huh.
And we merged those two sounds together, you know.
Was it instant when you first seen him?
Pretty much we had music in common, uh-huh. you know. We were both married to different people at that point in time. But he was playing guitar with me long before we became husband and wife.
We've been playing together now for probably
long time.
25 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long time.
Long time before we got married. When we first got married, I changed our bed out of our bedroom and I exchanged it for a trampoline, and she really hit the ceiling.
Oh my gosh.
This is what we have to endure on stage sometimes when
really?
He, yeah, yeah. I bought him a joke book of like 6,000 jokes. He won't read it.
But we've been working together a long time.
That's
yeah.
neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very enjoyable life.
Yeah.
It has been. We've been real fortunate to, because Maddie writes as well. And so we were both songwriters. At first, I was a writer with Sony Tree Publishing Company. And then we both got signed to Barbara Orbison, Roy Orbison's wife, signed us to her publishing company. So we had some success together as co-writers with a few songs. And we wrote a song called Troubles Here, and Leanne Womack recorded it and made it went platinum.
Wow.
After gold. That was way cool. And so we've had some success as songwriters together. That we do a lot of that. So, we're pretty...
Tell our listeners what exactly a publishing deal means, because they might not know.
Go ahead, Maddie.
Well, actually, a publishing deal is there's publishing companies in Nashville, and how they make their money is they sell songs to artists who are looking for songs to put on their records. And so the publishing companies hire writers to write the songs so that the publishing companies can pitch them to the artists. And a lot of times, up-and-coming artists will have a catalog of songs that they've already recorded, and the publishing company will buy that whole catalog and pitch it. So in and around that whole case, we basically were signed as writers, and they pitched our music.
And also, if you're a writing artist, they try to team you up with other artists as well, or other songwriters, so you can hopefully have successful songs on your own album.
It sounds
well.
Real good in theory,
yeah.
But
yeah.
If anyone has ever listened to country music in general, and especially current country, a lot of it sounds the same. Mm-hmm. It's because if you're a writer for a publishing company, you have to write, and they put you together with other publishers and publishing writers, and it's like a factory sort of a mentality where you have to write, you know, 3 songs a day and submit them to make your quota and all that stuff. That's the downside of working in Nashville and, you know, for publishing companies.
Now, is it that way for you guys? The way
Not now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had to do that. We had to do our, you know, stint of that. And, that, you know, there's always good music and a lot of talented people that, you know, are in Nashville. I'm not taking anything away from anybody.
Right.
But it can get, you know, pretty weird in that regard. You know.
Convoluted. It just all starts sounding the same after a while. And, you know, I mean, there are days I sure don't feel like writing.
Yeah,
and
right.
Writing's what you do till the real song comes.
Well, that's the other side of the spectrum. You need to practice your craft.
But there are people you get together with for the first time, and you either click or you don't. And so you never know when you're thrown in the formula box if it's going to work or not. But Maddie and I, we had some success, and something we really enjoy doing is sitting down and writing together. I mean, we really enjoy that whole
process
of doing. So, yeah, it's fun for us.
Well, if we were going to pick a song to share with our listeners that you wrote together, which one would we play for them?
Oh, I don't know. There are just so many good ones.
Well, I'm sure there are.
Well, let's see.
I hate it when someone else answers your question. Don't you? I just did that.
No, because I'm thinking, I mean, Troubles Here was our most successful, but I don't know if it's my favorite, you know, so I don't know what you have. But
yeah, I mean.
Missed Me by a Mile. There you go.
Yeah.
I like that one. Yep.
Tell me about writing that.
Well, we used to have to go to Nashville a lot from California and to write. And so that just happened. I think we wrote that with another person. I think that was a threesome I forget who it was.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I can't
think of his name right now. It's been so long, but
a good writer in Nashville.
A very good writer in Nashville, and I'm sorry I can't remember his name because it should be happening. But I remember sitting writing the lyrics to that, and I had maybe 3/4 of it done, and looked at him and said, "What do you think about that?" And he goes, "And no, that's no." This needs to be a little bit more commercial, or, you know, something that people relate to. So that was a scratch and did the whole thing over. But, and then that worked. So that's what I remember about Miss Me by a Mile. But that is the title track of the album. So that I'm talking about.
And now on Giant FM, here's Jan Brown and Matthew Barnes, Miss Me by a Mile.
There'd be things
To get away from things, I talked a blue streak in your ear. Oh, what did you hear? I hit the ground running, running hard from you. 'Cause what you see.
With Jan Brown, Matthew Barnes, and the committee chair to elect Jenny Kinsley for circuit judge and lifelong friend of Jan Brown, Rhonda Pursley. We just listened to Jan Brown and Matthew Barnes' hit song, Miss Me by a Mile, and we were talking previously to listening to that great song about the writing process and the rewrite. Can you fill us in a little bit more about that process?
It just depends on what your intent is. I mean, you know, when you... Well, it's like when you come to work, you kind of, as you're on your way to work, you kind of think about what you might want to try to accomplish at work, mm-hmm. you know, in mm-hmm. your job. Mm-hmm. it's the same way when you're a writer. I mean, you know, you just have these ideas, and you just learn that, you know, you're going to write with someone you don't know, and what you want to do is at least have three or four ideas to throw out, you know, just in case one doesn't work, the next one might, and, you know. The creative process is interesting. It's very subjective, mm-hmm. as opposed to going to a job and, you know, that's not subjective. Like, you know, when you work for a company and you're, you know, your job is a specific thing you have to do every day and you know how to do it. The creative process, as you know, I mean, you're kind of in this business. It can go left or it can go right or it can go any weird way you want it to mm-hmm. go, you know. So, to that end, you just try to prepare yourself for what might happen. And
as said, someone has the pen and someone gets the beer, okay? So it means, I mean, just because if I really believe in a lyric or a something in the song, or if he does, we'll fight for it. No, this needs to be here. I really feel strongly about this. I really feel that, you know, and usually we're both right. Usually we compromise and we're both right on it.
Yeah.
And so, but I think he was right in telling me that he thought it could be stronger lyrics. And they were. Well, when I did the rewrite, he jumped on board with the rewrite as well. And it was stronger and it was better. So
there's a lot of cool stories
about
songs that happen. Uh-huh. And the one that I've heard that I've always remembered is, and you know, I'm not sure it's true, but I'm. It came from a good source, so it probably is true. But when Clint Black wrote "Leaving Here a Better Man," that was a huge hit for him. Apparently, he wrote the song about a breakup that he had just been through, a very traumatic breakup, and he wrote the whole song based on "I'm leaving here a bitter man, not a better man."
Oh.
So somebody in this in the production chain, someone said, "Nah, you know what? If you change that word, one word, to better instead of bitter, this will be a hit." So I'm sure that guy got half the publishing, and it was a huge hit, you know. So that's, you know, those kind of weird things happen, and you know, it can go.
It is subjective, it's just the connection you have with the other writer at times, you know.
And as long as there's beer involved, it's usually pretty good.
There you go.
What about Starbucks?
Right, yeah, now, today.
This morning at Starbucks.
Yeah.
This might be a little. So is it called Tin Alley in Nashville? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The Writer's Row? Is that right?
Music Row.
Music Row.
Yeah. Tin Alley is just a place downtown where a lot of musicians hang. And I think they actually have a.
Is it still called Tin Alley?
Well, I think so.
Yeah,
I haven't been there in a long time.
But because I just wondered, and I don't know. I'm going to ask you guys this a little bit off just because I'm sort of curious.
Oh, that's okay.
In the music business, since streaming has evolved, which theoretically has taken the price down of a CD, you know, mm-hmm. unless you're yep. selling it at a live show,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. you don't have the value of the song, isn't what it, I don't know. Like in my mind, and I could completely off base, that's why I'm asking you, if the value of that song is sort of not as much as it used to be, is that affecting the writers there?
Well,
Did you see what I'm saying? Like, what's happening with all that?
The whole playing field's changed, you know that. Uh-huh. I mean, the whole industry has changed. Record companies don't have the power that they had to dictate what is a hit. And I mean, of course, it still does happen. And I mean, because mm-hmm. there's obviously big stars in the
right.
country industry, you know, there's
right.
and they're still pushing certain artists. But the cool thing is, artists like us who don't aren't in Nashville and aren't playing that game, we have the ability to get the exposure. Now, you know, depending on how
without
much we want to network
label.
And market, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we have the ability to record at the same quality level as the big boys. So to that end, you know, we have our indie label is Plan B Records.
Yes, I was going to ask you about your tattoo. Tell yeah. us about, you have it right on your arm. Tell me about Plan B Records.
So we wouldn't forget.
Yeah, I didn't want to forget about it, yeah. But what happened was when we got out of our publishing deals, we had a gold record, and most of that money went to the publishing company. And I mean, I could tell you a bunch of stories.
Yeah, but we decided we didn't want that to happen anymore.
So, so we started.
And I left Nashville. I left Curb Records, and so I went home and sat on the couch for a while, deciding or trying to decide what the next plan was. I didn't really know, but I got a call from Europe actually, and a promoter there, and asked me if I would be interested in doing an album for them. So back in the studio we went, and we decided that we were going to be our own record label and we were going to be our own publishers. So that's how
Plan B. I mean, why give that money away anymore when, you know.
Yeah, Plan B came out of that whole ash.
How long have you been doing that, approximately? How many years?
Plan B Records has been in existence since about 2000.
It's been a while then.
Been a long while. Yeah. Yep. And actually, I didn't want to say this on the radio, but we've been together a lot longer than I would admit to, because I don't want everybody to think we're that old.
Aww. Well, you don't look old. Yeah. You know, I bet that's
so 21 yeah. years we've been together.
That's
20
awesome.
Years we've been. I really don't know. I lost count now.
Well, yeah. I mean,
who's counting?
Yeah. I always remember you guys together. The first time. I think that's neat, you know, that you can have that journey together.
It has been a great journey, musical journey. It really, really has been. We just wrote a song together a few weeks ago, and he had most of it finished. I got the beer this time. He had the pen. And but we just wrote a song. And he said, "Well, can you help me with a few lines here?" So, you know, I did help him with a few lines. And now we played it in Canada. We were just there, 10 days ago?
Yeah,
doing some festival up there. And people love the song. They wanted to hear it again and again. And it's so brand new. It's called
Hell
in a Handbasket.
Are you going to sing it? At the event?
No, because we didn't teach the boys that one yet. But, you know, it's kind of fun. And, I mean, we're still writing just off the cuff. And right now we've been in the studio trying to get a new album done. So,
would you have any dates for that? Or next year? Or your new album?
Oh, well.
I'm always saying soon.
Yeah.
But really, soon. We've been really working at it.
Well,
so
will you let us know here when your new album
absolutely
comes out?
I will do that.
We'd love that.
At
I'm
any
excited
rate,
about
were,
it.
You were talking about the what's going on with the music industry as far as the songs being, you know, most artists now are giving away their music because if they can get it on everybody's playlist, then everybody's going to want to come and see them, and they're going to make their money at the live shows, you know.
Right.
Which is, if you think about it, in the real old days before anybody was recording and you had, you know, the only way you could perpetuate your music was to play live, and that's how you made your money. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting.
No, and the music business has always survived, and every time something happens, everyone's like, oh, you know, from, you know, when they used to, like you said, they played live music, and then when the pianos and the sheet music came out, they thought that was going to, you know, end it. And, you know, and it just evolves.
Yeah.
So we're in a spot where it's evolving. But I think it's actually for the better, like, because it gives,
I think so, too.
Maybe
as long
be,
as you can, if you can find your place as an artist, you know.
It's actually an exciting time. It's just how you look at it.
Right.
How you choose to look at it.
Yeah.
I was a bit fortunate because I already had a record deal prior to this whole thing happening with social media and, you know, another outlet. So I was fortunate in that respect. And also I was playing Europe for many years before this all happened. So I sort of, you know, found myself in Europe as well. And so I have pretty good sales over in Europe because
every time,
being committed to
big fans
going back there and
they're still buying CDs, quote unquote, you know, hard copy stuff.
Yeah. Now, where can we follow you?
Well, I have a website that he's always yelling at me about.
Go keep up this website.
We have a PlanBRecords.com.
I don't care.
Website, and we have a JanBrown.com page on the PlanBRecords.com website. JanBrown.com, JanBrowne.com, and
Facebook.
And then Facebook, of course. You know, she lives on Facebook and has many, many people who she communicates with daily on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's a great social networking is pretty cool.
And can we purchase your music if we go to jbrown.com?
Mm-hmm. I think everywhere from iTunes to, you know, there.
CD Baby.
You can buy hard copies still. And on the website, too, we're kind of running low, believe it or not, on hard copy stuff. We're going to replenish that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're hoping that come next summer that we're doing house concerts.
Oh, that's neat.
And we have some people setting it up for us right now in Canada. So we're going to be starting off there, kind of kicking it off, doing a number of them.
That's getting to be
summer.
A real cool thing.
Oh, yeah.
House concerts is a very intimate setting, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. There's a lot more interaction before the show, after the show. And it's really fun stuff.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are very
nice. So we're excited about that. And coming to a town near you, we hope.
Yes. It's not exactly a house concert, but the fundraiser that will be this Sunday, the 24th, mm-hmm. and that is for
Jenny Kinsley.
She's running for circuit judge.
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah. And we're excited to be a participant of that, and you know, I'm really excited about it because I'm going to play with musicians that I kind of grew up admiring, like Gary Talbert and Dana Ayers. They all had bands long before me, and I was the kid sitting on the curb listening to them and wishing that I had my own band. So now we're going to unite and do this. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's wonderful.
Going to be a lot of fun.
You know, it is an establishment at the Riverfront Tap Room, and it's open to everybody.
Right.
But it sort of has, it's just a small, intimate setting.
And we're outdoor. We're going to be outdoor.
That's nice, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice day.
It is really nice out there. I love it. Yeah. I love looking at the water.
Well, you're going to be elsewhere. We were going to invite you and tell you to come on down.
It says 8, so I'm hoping that we can. I was just thinking, trying to do the math.
That'd be great to have you there, Penny.
I want to, so yes.
Yeah, that would be great.
But appreciate you all coming. Anything else you want to tell our listeners?
That we appreciate them very much, and I look forward to seeing everybody on Sunday. When I come home, I am a train running here and there trying to see everybody. And
your favorite places, you got to tell our listeners your favorite places to go every time you're right here.
I'm
Shelbyville. You told me some places.
Oh, I told you I go, but they're not open, the Hurry Burger.
Lenny's.
You know, my absolute favorite place to go is down to Brown County every time I'm home to see the leaves change and go to Story and have some food and. You know, I'm always doing the tourist thing every time I'm home and just trying to see everybody, see all my family and friends that I love
usually
dearly.
Usually we'll have a party. And
yes, Rhonda usually throws
a big party. And so this year, instead of that, we're going to do something.
Well, we're going to do the tap room where everybody can come.
They can come
Sunday
and see.
The 24th.
Right, and everybody can be there. That's it. I hope they do.
Yes.
Well, Jan and Rhonda and Matthew, thank you so much for coming on a trip with Penny Lane today.
Thank you,
Penny. Thank you for having us.